first edition of PFL Audio in a long time. We used to do a few of these probably about a year or so ago, but kind of let Mike Harris take things over during the football season and recruiting season. And but Mike Harris's show ends in March, so given that, we've decided to continue the TSL recruiting reports with Chris Horner, covers recruiting for us. So Chris is on the line with us. Chris, how you doing?
Good, Will. How are you?
Pretty good. You been pretty busy?
Yeah, just gathering information on 2007 prospects that Virginia Tech is looking at right now, and the ones that have been offered and the ones that seem to be likely that they will get offers from Virginia Tech and things like that. So just kind of basically working on that and kind of going from the gathering video and things like that and for the May pre-summer rankings as well. So kind of doing a whole mixed bag of things right now.
Yeah, we'll get into a bunch of that stuff here in a minute. You find that, you know, I think over the years, I think in years past, once signing day came and went, we were content to maybe run some profiles and kind of, as far as the recruiting database went, just kind of let it sit for a while and you wouldn't really start building it up till, you know, April or May. You know, is that a pretty accurate description? You find yourself doing things earlier these days?
Well, I think the first year I started this job, certainly we did take a few months off from even doing updates. I remember the first year, and then basically went, I think it was, I want to say it was for the 2003 class, maybe. I don't know, the time has definitely flown so far, that's for sure. But I remember the first year I really did this full time. We took a couple months off and tried to populate the database before really coming out with some strong updates. But now, I mean, it seems like with recruiting getting earlier and earlier, especially in football, combines really taking over and things like that, then you have to kind of really start kind of coincide the next class with the class that you're currently covering. So kind of starting earlier in terms of you know, populating the database, getting updates out there, getting names out there in terms of players, and so it's definitely got a little bit more hectic since that first year.
I think a couple of things that have changed. You know, looking at it from my perspective, I think you're right. There's been a proliferation of combines and Nike camps and things like that that bring focus to the younger guys. Plus, now that you've been doing this a few years, I think your contacts are better. Your feel for the recruiting scene, particularly in state, is better. So I think you're more able to get started early on things.
Well, definitely, especially in state, getting to know the coaches so well, you really know who's coming up in the next year's class. And that's one thing that's definitely helped out in terms of talking to the in-state high school coaches I'm talking about. And you basically talk to them on a yearly basis, and they'll just kind of give names of this year's recruit and then also next year's and the year after. So it certainly gets easier in terms of finding names, but there are always certain schools who may have not had a prospect in the previous few years, but will have one all of a sudden coming out of this year, and then you got to continue to track those guys down. So it's really good in developing contact around the state of Virginia with the high school coaches, because not only are they able to tell you who really impresses them in terms of their own program, but in terms of which other programs around the state, or at least in their area, that they know of, and particular players as well.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I'm the kind of guy, as you know, I don't really, you know, start to get into recruiting, really pay attention to it until, you know, to be honest, December or January, when signing day is getting kind of close. Now, I've promised myself, put my hand over my heart and all that stuff, I'm going to get an earlier start this year. So I've been reading more of the updates. I've been trying to get familiar with some of the names. So at this point, early in the game, let's bring a little context to things. The first question I have for you is, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the recruiting database. I'm guessing that's about, looks to be about 30 or 35 kids you got in it so far. At this point, how complete is that? You know, do you feel that as much as you can know, let's be honest, Virginia Tech, they don't really firm up their recruiting list till sometime in May, I think.
Right, right.
You know, so it's hard to get a feel for exactly who all they're going to be looking at. You only know the big-time kids, the kids that they've already been in on for a year or two.
Right.
You know, but just give me a feel for how complete is your list at this point? You know, are there still kids out there that you need to add, or what's the story there?
And it's still plenty of kids to add, honestly. I think there are the certain kids that every school, the top kids that every school pretty much offers, or the particular kids that say Virginia Tech has pegged as players that they know they want to offer, such as Devon Morgan from Verina, and then of course you have Tyrod Taylor,
yeah.
And a few others, Andrew Nuss out of Stonebridge, who's an offensive lineman, and William Alvarez out of Hilton, who's an offensive lineman. So some of those players that Virginia Tech has already offered pretty early. So now is really kind of just more evaluation. As I mentioned earlier, their combine's going on, so maybe gives people a little bit more of a sense of who stands out athletically. And then, of course, the May evaluation period is always big. So I think really it starts really getting complete around the end of May in terms of the May evaluation period. And then even then it's not totally complete because you have the senior – Tech has run the senior camp.
Yeah, that's right.
During the summer.
And that's in July, correct?
Exactly. And they offered a few prospects from last year's class, Rashad Carmichael as well as Devin Radford just a few days. Actually, Carmichael received his offer after his performance at the camp, and Radford, I think, got his a day before or so. So Virginia Tech will still hold that. So it's still not really totally complete until, I would say complete until that kind of senior camp in June, the beginning of summer and things like that, or July. And then there's some prospects that could get offers in their senior season. There's some late bloomers, which always happens. And because right now you're just really dealing with junior video and combines, and
yeah,
not totally complete evaluation, in my opinion. So there are those senior prospects that come out as well. So I'm never really totally complete, I don't think, until actually signing day. But in terms of where the database will be, I think it'll be mostly complete after the end of May, and then pretty much complete at at the beginning of the summer or midsummer.
Good. All right. So, you know, let's talk about some of the top players that are in the database right now. You threw a few names out. You know, mm-hmm. there's Tyrod Taylor at the quarterback position. I've got to believe that that's Tech's number one target at the quarterback position. I'm not even sure they're really looking at anybody else seriously. Is that your take on things?
I think he's definitely, in my opinion, I think he's the top target for them. He's in state. He's a bright kid as well as a very talented kid. You and I had a chance to see him at the Blacksburg Nike camp, so while that's not a game or anything like that, but we had a chance to see that, he looks like a good player, and just seems like a good kid, would be an overall good fit for the program, as well as a good, outstanding talent. He may be the number one player in the state. I'm still hoping to get some more video and things like that, but he's at least in the top two for sure, I think. I'd agree with that statement. I think he's probably the top target on their board. They are Virginia Tech is looking at a few other out-of-state quarterbacks as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see Virginia Tech take two, although obviously, because I do believe Taylor is going to commit a little bit later than probably later in the process. But
yeah, so he's going to be in the game a little bit longer, I guess. He's a guy who might go in November, December, or January.
That's my feeling. I talked to his dad earlier this week, actually, and he told me that in addition, actually, as an aside, he and Tyrod are going to take visits to Virginia Tech on two occasions, one for the spring game, one for a spring practice, just to talk to the coaches this spring. But I do have a sense that Tyrod, and talking to his dad feels that they may try to narrow the list before his senior season starts. But other than that, it wasn't like anything in particular that's set. So I think Tyrod's probably going to be a player that's going to take his time, take some official visits and things like that. And who knows, could be a kid that I would imagine he's a good bet for the Army All-American game. So,
is that right? That good, huh?
Exactly.
Sitting here looking at his profiles, he's got offers right now from Maryland, Tennessee, UVA, Virginia Tech, and UNC. So that's pretty good at this stage. All right, so let's take a look at the running backs, because you know that one of the concerns of spring protect is that running back is
right.
Thin, you know. And I look at what's in the database right now, and talking to a few guys, there's just not a lot available as far as tailbacks go, like there has been in the past, like last year. You know,
right.
Looking at the list, you got Kevin Krause, who, you know, I'm not sure Kevin's really going to be on Tech's radar. You know, maybe you can shed a little light on that. What's your take on Krause out of Pulaski County at this point?
Well, honestly, I haven't seen film on him yet. I'm anxious. From all accounts, he's a fantastic running back, but at the same time, He's trying to work on his speed right now. He ran a 4.78 at the Scout Combine this past weekend, which admittedly was on a slow surface, which a lot of people are admitting to that. So 4.78, while it sounds not that great initially, especially for a running back, if it is on a slow surface and I'm told conditions, it was pretty cold as well. Down there, then there are some other factors, but
The problem is the kid's 5'8".
Right.
Now, granted, he's 210, which is a good size, but if you're 5'8", you gotta have more jets than that. I think we've got him listed at 4.65. 4.78 aside, he doesn't really seem like a real fast kid. So it'll be interesting to see once you get more info and see how things shake out, where he winds up in your top 25, and then how serious Tech is about him.
Exactly right. And actually, back to Tyrod Taylor, his dad told me he has 11 official scholarship offers at this point.
Wow.
He didn't give me the exact names, but those five that you mentioned are certainly in there. Of course, Virginia, Virginia Tech.
Well, the point is made, he's got a lot.
Yeah.
And they're quality offers, too.
That's right.
Now, a guy that I thought had some interesting numbers from the Durham combine was Ryan Houston. I don't know if Tech's ever going to be serious about Ryan Houston, but he's a kid out of Matthews, North Carolina. We got him listed as a running back, 6'2", 240. And let me find my information here. He weighed in Durham at 6'2", 275.
Right.
So he's not looking like a running back anymore to me.
No, absolutely. I think he's certainly going to have to trim down the weight to get down to there, although according to his coach, Virginia Tech has officially offered, and so has Virginia.
Okay.
He wants a chance to play running back, but as you mentioned, I think he's going to have to show. He's going to have to get that weight down a little bit more, unless he's like a Micah Johnson from last year, who can really run. Who was about the same size, about 6'2" or 6'3", 260 pounds. And Michael was out of Kentucky, ended up signing with Kentucky. But he was a type of player who ran like a 4.6 or a 4.5 or something like that.
Well, to put things in perspective, at that combine, Houston ran a 5.40.
Right.
And, that sounds awful, but what you got to do is, given the conditions, you got to look and see how he compares to everybody else.
Right.
Now, they list about 20 or 25 running backs here, and his 5.00 was one of the slowest times amongst all the running backs there. I see a 5.07, a 5.03, and a 5.09. Other than that, everybody's under 5 seconds in the 4.7 to 4.5 range. So, somebody said to me, think Greg Boone, that unless Houston drops weight and speeds up, he might wind up, his future might be somewhere else.
Yeah, that was my point. If he's serious about it, and it sounds like he's serious about wanting to be a running back, and I may have exaggerated Micah Johnson's, but my point was that Micah Johnson certainly is a fast kid who can really run. And but my point about Ryan is that if he's serious about wanting to have a shot at running back, then if he's not going to be as fast at 270 as he is at 240, then he needs to obviously kind of work on his conditioning to get down to that level to become that. But he's got a good amount of written offers, but as you mentioned, I think. If he doesn't shed the pounds, and I think tailback would certainly be a question mark for the next level, I think it's safe to say.
Okay, we're about 13 and a half minutes into this, and I've gone down a path I didn't want to get into of talking about individual players. So let me get back to some of the topics I had written down that I wanted to talk about. Big question in a lot of Tech fans' minds, you're going around and you're doing updates in March, and it's getting ready to be April. And there's, I've read these updates, and, Tech seems to be a little bit slower to move in on kids than other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Other schools, let's talk about it, UVA. UVA seems to be offering more kids earlier, showing them more love, and this is an area of insecurity for Tech fans.
Right.
Always thinking, oh, UVA's in arm early, oh, this is going to make a big difference, Let's put this stuff in, again, the word perspective for people. It is not Virginia Tech's standard mode of operation to offer kids early. The way they usually operate is some kids they know about and some kids they offer early, but as we've talked about earlier in the conversation, they have an evaluation period in May where they really kind of try to set their board at that point in time. Then, as you said, they've got their football camps in July. I mean, in my mind, Tech's always just a little bit later to the game. So address that and tell me whether or not you think that's a big deal.
I think it's certainly true, just in my experience, just in talking with, you know, high school coaches, the ones that have dealt with Virginia Tech coaches for a long time acknowledge that Virginia Tech's a little bit more deliberate, I would say, I guess, in the recruiting evaluation process. And as you mentioned, there are other schools that kind of get out there, Virginia, and they're basically, like I said, recruiting's getting earlier and earlier, it seems like. So there's a, you know, it's starting, you know, a lot of teams are getting out there. But as far as Virginia Tech goes, I think they're still, you know, they're being deliberate in their evaluations. But at the same time, they have offered some kids. It's not like they haven't offered anybody and that they're still waiting. And in terms of, I think one thing that may have had an effect this year and maybe waiting a little bit longer is that Virginia Tech did have some coaching changes for the first time in a long time.
Sure. Yeah, and, so they got guys coming in trying to get, you know, figure out what's going on.
And in key areas as well, such as, you know, Tony Ball from Maryland left, as well as Lorenzo Ward from
Georgia.
Northern Virginia and Georgia, and those, you know, two very key guys left as well. So it's been a shakeup. I think that has to be taken into account. As for the impact, I really...
Well, wait a minute. Let me jump in here and say that the other thing that affects this is, you know, Virginia Tech historically doesn't throw a lot of scholarships around. They offer a smaller group of kids than most schools, you know, and they try to offer kids that they feel they have a really good shot at, you know. Mm-hmm. They never come close to taking the number, the NCAA maximum official visits, which is like 55 or 75 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll bring in, what, 35 kids a year? You know, maybe 40. So not only do they get started a little later, they just don't throw scholarships around. Like, what's going on with Michigan? You know, how many scholarships does Michigan throw around? What's that all about?
Well, I think it's, you know, when you're a national presence, and I think Michigan certainly is trying to get back more on that level after, you know, a few, you know, they've had some disappointing seasons. But when you're on that national level, not all national teams really do this, but I think you have more you can offer more kids from other areas because the name is known, and you know they can not to say that they're throwing offers around left and right, but they can certainly offer a lot more kids and than maybe you know another school. You know, I think Virginia Tech's kind of getting to that trying to climb to that national presence.
That's right, trying to do more out of state stuff.
Exactly right, and I think you're kind of seeing that, especially in the ACC region, but. Yeah, I think when Michigan, you know, has got the tradition and, you know, kind of such as like a Notre Dame or, you know, the Florida school as well, I think they can be a little bit more free going, I guess, in terms of offering, you know, very talented kids. I'm sure they're offering kids that they would accept and not just offering
I don't mean to single out Michigan because it's
right.
More than one school. It seems like they're almost cooking spaghetti. They're just throwing a bunch of it up against the wall to see what sticks.
That's right.
All right, so, you know, appreciate your input on that. And, you know, let's, what are we into? We're about 18 minutes in there, so let's wrap it up. Give me, without getting into too much detail, just spit out the names of in-state kids that you think are going to wind up in your top 10 or your top 20 when it's released in May.
All right, well, we already spoke about Tyrod Taylor, him and Peter Lalek, who's the quarterback out of West.
He's going to UVA.
Yeah, that's certainly, I think it would be a surprise if he didn't. I will definitely say that. And those kids are two, I think they're top five material right there, and you can just look at the offers that they've received and, you know, the talent that they've shown last year.
All right, now you're talking too much. Just keep throwing names at me.
Jay Smith is a
wide receiver. Great
wide
player.
Wide receiver at Kempsville. Ja'Courtney Williams, who's a linebacker. Slash maybe even defensive back, but I think he's probably going to end up as a linebacker on the next level. It's out of Christchurch School. Virginia and Virginia Tech have offered him. And those are four guys, I think, for sure, that will be in the top 10, I think, if I had to say. And then Maximilian is committed to Virginia. I know he's a pretty good player as well. Virginia Tech was very interested in him, and actually Bud Foster called their school after he committed to Virginia. Just to ask if, you know, I guess it's just...
Are you sure?
Exactly.
6-1, 198, 4-4 out of Arlington.
Exactly. And he indicated that that Tech was going to offer, but it sounded like Virginia just did a good job recruiting
Tech. See there, Tech missed the boat. You know, they should get an earlier start.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you know, anybody else, like the lineman you mentioned, Nuss, is that how it's pronounced?
I was about to get to those guys. Andrew Nuss actually is one guy that I was pretty impressed with him in his video. 6'6", 280 pounds, has the frame to be able to carry a lot more weight, seems very athletic, and has some pretty good offers as well early. Yeah. William Alvarez, I think Nuss may have the edge in terms of offensive line rankings right now, but William Alvarez out of Hilton, who's certainly got some nice size to him, 6'6", 300 pounds.
And then Khalil Latique's probably, is he a big-time guy?
He's, you know, I think that kind of remains to be seen. He was listed actually at 6'2", 276 pounds at the Scout Combine.
Ah, as opposed to the 6'4", 290 that we've got him at in the database.
Right, okay. Right. And I think he has offers from Maryland and Virginia, but in terms of which position he projects at, if he stays on the offensive line, I could see him as a center or possibly an offensive guard, but I think he's going to be a guy that maybe not a top guy like those other kids that I mentioned, but he's
right.
Certainly a
solid guy, 15-25 range, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
All right, anybody else you want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
Well, there's the Gloucester kid, Aaron Taliaferro, who Coach Raymond certainly is very high on. He's got an official offer from Virginia, official offer from Kansas State, and Missouri, Virginia Tech. Is showing heavy interest, and Taliaferro is going to take a visit to Virginia Tech, I think, during the spring with his coach.
He's a 6'2", roughly 220-pound linebacker, not related to any Taliaferros you've heard of, like Curtis and names you may have heard of in the past.
As far as I know, for sure. And
yeah.
I think I mentioned, you know, a few of those other guys. Virginia's got another commitment from Jared Dietrich, who's out of Woodside High School in Newport News, Virginia. So,
okay.
Those are a few. Devon Morgan, of course, I'd be remiss
right.
not to mention him. And then Highland Springs, again, seems like it's certainly continuing. It's sending kids to Division I-A schools. They have Chris Hill and C.J. Fleming, who have both have about six official scholarship offers, including one from Virginia. And I believe UNC is in the picture for CJ as well. So,
yeah, okay. One other kid, I'm sitting here looking at the list, one other kid I want to ask you about, and I lost it, so never mind. darn, that was too bad. It was a kid. I know it. I wanted to ask you about the Clear kids. Are these kids identical twins, the kids out of Williamsburg?
Honestly, I haven't seen them. At this point, I plan on seeing them. They're going to be at one of the local combines later this year, so I'll be able to take a picture of them there.
So are they moving up? Because they did a pretty good job down in Durham.
They did. I'd have to think they are moving up. The one thing that's hurt them is that they haven't gotten video out yet. And this past year, and another thing that's going to hurt, especially Byron Clear, he missed six games last year due to a foot injury, but like you said, they're both extremely athletic.
Yeah, let's make a promise. We're not going to talk about them individually. We're just going to call them the Clear twins, you know?
Okay.
Because if you start throwing Byron and Brandon around, I won't be able to keep it straight. Now, let me also throw something else in there. They were eerily close on their measurables down in Durham, and I'm flipping through some paper here. So listen to this. One of them is 6'4", 206. The other one's 6'5", 204.
Uh-huh.
One of them ran a 4.56 40. The other one ran a 4.57. One of them did a 9.11 standing broad jump. The other one did a 9.11 standing broad jump. And the weird thing is, one of them is a wide receiver, and the other one's defensive line, even though they're almost identical.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And one is wide receiver, free safety. Byron, I will say his name, is actually he's a little bit bigger than Brandon. And he's the defensive end. And,
okay, so he's the 6'5 kid instead of the 6'4 kid.
Exactly, so I guess, you know. But he definitely likes playing defensive end. And, you know, we'll see what happens with him. Brandon played a full season almost last year and did pretty well. So,
right.
You know, we'll just have to see what happens in terms of offers and things like that.
Good enough. Appreciate your time. There's a bunch of other stuff I want to talk about, but we can get to this later. What I'm going to do is post this as TSL audio. Then I'm also going to go through it and try to extract some of the more interesting thoughts and points and put it down in text for those who don't have, you know, audio capability, or just really the chance to listen at any time. So appreciate it, Chris. I understand you got to run and make a call, and we'll do more of these in the future.
I'm looking forward to it, Will. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Bye.